The greatest story ever told. Presented by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Today we present The Woman and the Treasure, a drama inspired by an event set forth in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. An event from the greatest life ever lived. The great marble palace of Pontius Pilate, Roman procurator for all Judea, is lit by many torches this night, and the music of a great party fills the huge banquet hall. It is a night of feasting and laughter, and many men of importance in Jerusalem are in attendance. There are officials from Rome, dignitaries from Alexandria, Greece, Phoenicia, and also many of the important men of commerce of the province itself. Now, one of the important men from Jerusalem turns to his wife to say,
"Oh, my dear, I'm honest speaking, and this palace has beckoned you, my
dear." "Alexander? You mean Claudia herself wants to attack Marathon?
Why shouldn't she? For in this room is better ground. She's blue, sparkling, more brightly."
"You think she's jealous then?"
"I told you it was dangerous to wear all those evil Romans to see them, and only she was envy. And pity those from the Romans, envy."
"I'm sure now. She is beckoning to me."
"Not with fancy things you don't know. This will only make her angry. But again, she wants to run."
"Yes, Martin." "Better to me a fancy, my dear. I leave all such titles to my husband. You may call me by my name."
"Thank you, Claudia.
You are Lois, wife of the great merchant Nathan. Are you not?"
"I am. What do you wish of me? Was it the diamonds that attracted your eyes?
Is there a woman who wouldn't notice such unusual gems?" "But it was more than that. Listen to me closely. As you talk, pretend that this is a casual conversation."
"I don't understand."
"You have only to listen and smile and pretend that you are carrying on the kind of idle, useless chatter men always expect of women. Then, smile. And nod to things.
That's better. And you wish to talk to me about something at the same time?"
"Yes. After all, he is one of your people."
"Who?"
"The man who has come down from Galilee. They tell strange tales about him. I'm curious, interested. Does he do miracles? Does he teach about what he calls eternal life?"
"True. I've never even heard of him."
"They call him the Master. And Pilate has already heard reports from Galilee that many people follow him."
"I've heard nothing. I'm sorry, I cannot tell you."
"You can trust me. I'm not hostile to your people. Believe me."
"Then believe me, too, for I know nothing. If I did, I would tell you."
"I was sure you'd know. Sure that I would find out tonight. You see, it's important that I find out tonight.
Try tonight.
You'll find out very soon, you'll find out.
Yeah.
See that serving woman who makes her way toward us, bearing the tray with food on it, yes? Listen, when she comes home.
Mistress, I'm to offer us the food, ma'am."
"Oh. Yes, mistress. Now tell me, what have you heard?
The Master and some of his disciples are at a house in the poor quarter of Jerusalem. The door is open, and many stand and listen outside. There is a great crowd.
Ma'am, you think it would be safe to go?"
"My son waits at the back gate of the palace, ready to leave him there. And I have arranged for several simple ways to cover your blind place. You will be well disguised. No one will know."
"Good. So I must satisfy my curiosity about this man. Tell us, would you go with him?"
"Of course, Claudia. If you wish.
Then you must slip out of this hall without being too conspicuous. I shall go see. You will find
your Claudia." Drake could have his way.
It would not go for them wearing such clothes as mine to run before the city of this hour without the protection of such a simple despair.
Nor would it do to be overheard.
So, Cooper, what are you doing here?
That's plenty. That's the unjust question both of us could be called upon to
answer. I ask you what you are doing here. Remember, this is my power.
Of course. Well, my efforts to stick away from the party do cast suspicion on my actions, but I am neither ashamed nor apologetic. I am on my way to speak out a prophet in Galilee. I've heard strange things about him. I want to see and hear from him.
You too? Don't
tell me that you, a Roman, also go to the
king. I'll give you my word, just to suspect where they're going.
And in that case, Father, say let's go together. I have word as to the place you're finding. Come. I'll lead the way.
I had heard there were mountains, healings. We've seen many so far.
Even if there were no healings, there is miracle enough in this house.
Look at me.
What Lois tries to tell you is that such a prophet who teaches to the poor is miracle enough in this land. You may be disappointed, Claudia, but I am impressed. Greatly impressed. The things he teaches, a kingdom of heaven, everlasting life, these are things a man teaches us. And I shall find out how you want to see him.
You did ask him?
Yes. Master? Master, I must ask you one thing. What good thing can I do that I may have the eternal life of which you spoke? If thou will enter into life, keep the commandment.
The commandment? Which commandment, Master?
Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
These commandments? By all these things I have lived by since my youth. Yet it seemed to lack something. What is it I still lack, Master?
If thou will be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me.
Give away all that I have, Master. You don't realize how much I have. No, I couldn't do that. No, I couldn't do that.
So, Cooper, it's true. The poor is possessing the subject. Who can it make the sacrifice the most to us? I wonder, Freddy. Could we? I wonder, too. Only one thing I'm seeing. I shall never forget this man. Yes, sir. I came to the palace this morning as soon as I received your message. She's just in trouble. I don't know, Lynn. I didn't sleep last night. No, I. First, I could pull his robe. Then, it was as though I could see him standing before me and beckoning to me. Oh, no. I was just asleep. I rose from my couch and stood on the balcony, staring out into the darkness of the drawing room. I thought of Joe Cecil and the way he went away from the master's presence. Quietly, yet unable to part with his possession. I thought of the world the most distressed to me. Remember.
Lay not up to yourselves, soldiers upon earth, for moth and rust doth corrupt, and where seed breaks through and steals. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for neither moth nor rust doth corrupt,
And where fools do not break through, no fools.
I thought of those rooms. And this morning I took out of the drawer just the drums I ran after. I looked at them, held them up in the sunlight. I saw them sparkle and glow like flames. And I thought, these treasures are earthly treasures. And the master said to give them up. What I love. I can sit and stare at them by the hour and find new light to admire in the midst.
Yes. I know how one can admire you.
Then we are no different from just people, father.
I wonder if we could be.
Could we?
Suppose we were to sell what we have and give to the people. That journey off on this road, what could it be for us?
This thing? We're not different from it. This one was brought from across the continent all the way from Cato, where it had belonged to an uncle. He gave it to his wife at the time of their marriage. Now, this had been a royal gem for 1,000 years before my husband bought it from me. I couldn't start with this one.
Then the gem you wore on your finger?
That one.
You hesitate again?
This is one of my favorites.
I know.
I was asking because I wanted to select one of my own gems that I might sell. And each somehow turned out to be my favorite, too, for one reason or another. I lacked the courage to give up any one of them. So I thought, if you could sell them, I might gain courage from you and be able to match your position. When we're adventurous, we shall feel stupid. Oh, I would like to tell you.
Here, this way, I shall give it up
to you. Then I shall give up this one. What shall we do with the money?
My maidservant will know where charity is needed among the poor of the rich.
The money we receive from these will be used to help them. Is it a deal?
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Wait, one moment. Let me have one last look at you. Look. It's time
to give it to me before you change your mind.
Yes. Do you realize, Claudia, that we give up only a small part of what we have?
Oh, no. The master expected more than that.
He asked more of the secret.
Yes.
And shall we make a bargain? This will be only the first of what we should give up. From now on, each of us will match the sacrifice of the other.
I promise you. And now I'll find out how much these two gems will be. And the money will be given to the people.
Oh, Claudia, let me have one more look at the gem before it is sold.
Lois, what is it? Is there something wrong?
No, dear.
At the meal this evening, you were very little. You did not even to know that there was food before.
I was not very hungry.
That is obvious. Something else is obvious, too. Ever since the night of Pilate's banquet, you've not been the same. Was it something Claudia said to you? Did you say something that caused you to worry? Something you keep from me because you think I might worry, too?
Please, Morton, please don't drive me to question.
I see, then there is something to worry about.
No.
No, if you can tell me. You've not become involved in any court intrigue, have you?
Of course, yes.
You've not found it necessary to give up any of your jewels to keep gossiping tongues from wagging, have you?
Give up jewels? What do you know about that?
I know there's one missing. The one that used to be so proudly worn on this finger.
Oh, you noticed.
The first day I noticed it was missing, I thought you'd forgotten the wear. But knowing how much you loved James, I knew there was something wrong and the ring was missing from your hand on the second and third day. So what happened to it?
You won't be angry with it.
Had I ever been angry with you without reason?
Nathan, I'm afraid you will be angry this time.
I'm waiting to hear about it.
The night of the banquet, Claudia and I went to hear the minister. You must have heard of him. The man from Galilee.
My heard. Yes.
We were so impressed by him from what he said about the real treasures of this life that Claudia and I made a pact. We would each sacrifice earthly treasure and equal proportions to do good with the man.
I see.
The ring was the first.
Oh, now I understand.
You're not angry.
Can a man be angry if he discovers his wife has kind and charitable instincts? Far from being angry, I'm proud of you, my dear. Very proud.
And perhaps more than you will be angry.
Is something else?
I have discovered something about myself, Nathan. I am not kind. I'm not charitable. No matter what good may be done with the money, I would rather have the gem back. Yes. I would rather be able to admire it and hold it and wear it than to measure it as paid and I don't have it again. I'm sorry.
Yes, see. Some idea if it means so much to you, perhaps something can be done about it. The gem may not yet be sold. If it is, I may be able to buy it back. Please don't cry.
I'm not proud of you anymore, I am. You must despise me now.
I love you, my dear. And better than that, I understand you. I admit now I was out surprised when you told me if you'd given up on a good drink, I didn't think that was like you. So you should have it back. Now, will you stop crying?
There's more, Nathan.
What do you mean?
Claudia and I, we had a goal that we would continue to sell our drinks. Each of us giving up one drink at a time.
I see. My boy, I cannot help you. You must put an end to this arrangement as you began it, by yourself. As for the ring, I'll try to find out who has it now. That's all I can do. Well, Daniel, have you dealt in such a gem as I described? Have you seen it? Tell about it.
What makes you think that I would have seen such a ring as you described?
Well, one thing, I know that in the past, Claudia has bought several gems from you. If she wanted to sell some, she can take you, I'm sure.
Well, so far, Nathan, don't invite our child in this. And you do with such highly influenced people, and cussing and the soul's mouth and the best of it. Who would know why someone like the Russians who would want to dispose of them suddenly?
I know.
You do?
Yes, but I have no interest in her brand, only in the room which belongs to my wife. I must know, is it given to you?
There are no secrets for all this concerned. Well, the guns were brought to me, both of them.
And the ring, where is it? What price you put on it?
The ring? What you sold, the little girl is given to me. The other gun was sold the next day. The money has been given to the woman, Claudia, who has been to us.
The ring is sold. Well, I must go and find the buyer and get it back.
That would procure him a long journey, Mason.
Is not sold to someone residing here in Jerusalem?
It is sold to a Roman, and the same girl who is left here. She is already on a ship bound for Rome.
I see. Well, thank you, Daniel.
Perhaps there are some other gems which might take the place of that ring. I have many here.
No, I'm afraid it has to be that ring or nothing. Well, I can tell my wife. Good day, Daniel. So it was sold to a man who's already started back his own. The ring is gone, my dear. I'm sorry, Lord. But sometimes it's not always possible to undo a hasty, ill-considered action.
You don't really believe it is hasty and ill-considered, do you?
What else could it be if you do it one day and regret it so keenly the next?
I don't mean that.
Please, Earth, I don't understand you.
You didn't think my action hasty and ill-considered. You were proud of me for that moment when you thought I was unselfish and honestly interested in the welfare of others. Weren't you?
Yes, I was proud of you.
Then now you must be very disappointed to find out that I'm selfish and unable to think of anything or anyone but myself. You may tell me the truth, Nathan.
You want me to hate you, don't you?
I want to know the truth, Nathan.
All right. You are selfish and spoiled. Nevertheless, the precious things that make you the leader of something. Now you've heard it.
I want it to hear it. And yet it's so remarkable that what you said hasn't changed me at all. Not any more than your truth, sir.
That's his words were meant to be standard than you are. But we must deal in realities, Lois. You have something you must do.
Daddy?
Yes. I depend no little on Tyler's favor in my business. It would not be well for him to know that she is disappointed toward her. So we must go to her and ask her to be released from your promise. We will touch her, and without anger in her. You understand?
What if she refuses?
We'll talk about that later. If she does refuse.
Lois, I've been waiting to hear from you. I thought you'd have come to call on me before then. I had wanted to, Claudia, but I found myself unable to do so.
You were ill?
No. I had a great deal of thinking to do.
Lois, you seem troubled.
Claudia, I've been trying to think of ways to tell you. I thought of many ways, but all of them would have been dishonest.
Lois, what are you trying to say?
You must give me a way to the mystery of things. After all, it was you who established an equality between us. Now it is very important that I be able to trust you as an equal.
Have I ever said anything that would indicate I do not feel that way?
No, but then you don't know what I'm about to say.
I promise I will not be offended.
Then I will stick to it. Claudia, you must understand that when I made my promise, I meant to carry it out. I didn't give my word lightly. So did I do it because I wanted to impress you or gain your friendship?
You mean the promise that each of us would match the sacrifice of the other?
Yes.
But you were the one who made that suggestion.
Which must make my weakness more acute. The truth is, I cannot do it. I cannot abide by my promise. I have offended you.
Perhaps at one time I would have been offended. But something has been happening to me of late. Somehow I'm different. I seem to understand people better than I do. I can sympathize with their feelings and their frailties more than I ever could before.
You even sound different. Claudia, what has happened to you?
I think it was hearing his words.
It put me to sleep. I wish I could be a friend of you. But I'm not. Who will release you from my promise?
It's you.
And there will be no redemption. It will not cause His Excellency any trouble or embarrassment.
I kept the promise, Sister. No one will know that you were released from me. The whole thing shall be forgotten.
Thank you, Claudia.
Thank you. Be careful. What is it? I noticed my notes were standing in the doorway. And I wouldn't want her to hear it for your sake. Mara, come here.
Yes, Miss.
Mara, have you heard anything this woman said?
Oh, no, Excellency. You know I never eavesdrop.
What, you were standing in the doorway?
Only because there is someone here to see you. I wanted to tell you. You see, the woman cannot wait too long. I had trouble getting her past the guards at the gate as it was.
You had trouble? Yeah.
The poor are never received here, Mistress. You must know that.
So this is a poor woman. And what does she want?
Only to talk to you. I couldn't refuse her, Mistress. Would you take the time to see her?
Claudia, shall I leave?
No, Lois.
It can be no secret business. Mara, you may have the woman waiting.
Yes, Mistress.
It is most unusual. Poor woman, can you call her me? It's me.
Mistress. Yes, little woman.
Excellency, there is no reason to throw yourself at my feet, woman. Come, and say what it is that brought you here.
Thank you. Were it for myself alone, perhaps I never would have the courage to approach this place. But they kept urging me. They kept telling me someone must go to her. Someone must tell her. They seemed to think that I could be at best.
They?
Who? All of them. The widow whose husband died, leaving her without even enough to feed her children for the next week. And the blind old man who is now too old and weak to beg. And there are so many others. So many. I myself, who have a husband, lame and unable to support my children, so that I must see everything and have not known a single good day since all this evil came upon me. We don't know what your kindness has meant to us. The help, the kindness, the joy you can't know.
Please, Ellen, there is no need to tell.
You can talk of that picnic without shedding tears of them. Now that I have told you, I shall not trouble you any longer.
Really, wait. Let me look at you.
What do you
mean? Lift your face. Let me see it.
Oh, look at you. Why?
The tears that stand on your cheeks.
Crying and dying. The same with you?
No, woman. It has suddenly opened your eyes. And more important to the broken in your heart. I know something I have never known before. I feel different.
Claudia, will you forget everything that I've said to you this day?
I will stand by my promise.
Oh, woman. I'm happy to hear you say it.
But the cold tears that did it. As I looked upon this woman's face, as I saw the light fall on those pools of fancy, it was perfect. I knew suddenly that they meant more than the sparkle of the gems I had so dearly. There is no warmth in the treasures of this earth. No satisfaction. Nothing which can compare with the happiness of this good day. Claudia, I am ready to live by the Master's word and to give up earthly pleasure.
This program was brought to you by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Next week on the Stern Network at this time, we will present And It Giveth Life, a drama inspired by the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Another episode in the greatest story ever told from the greatest life ever lived.